O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together in your house. We thank you for the mercies of the past. We've come to worship and honor you as our one true Savior God, and we've come to be filled by you with wisdom, strength, and comfort. Prepare our hearts so that we might confess our many sins with humility and sincerity, and then trust in your forgiveness with a childlike faith. And then grant that we would hear and apply your word to our own individual lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Please rise. We order our All Saints celebration according to the liturgy found beginning on page 12 in the fourth part of the supplement. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We stand in the presence of God, the God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. Amen. This our All Saints Celebration Sunday, we pray. O Almighty God, by whom we are graciously knit together as one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of Jesus Christ our Lord, grant us so to follow your blessed saints in the saving faith, that we may come to those unspeakable joys which you have prepared for those who believe in you. This we ask through that same Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading on this All Saints Day, Sunday, is found in the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. It may be true with you, it is with many others, that when they hear Revelation, they hear something spooky and mysterious, something difficult to understand and a bit disconcerting, almost frightening. And yet if you keep in mind the general truth of the book, These were visions seen by John, written down, and the message is, the overarching message throughout the whole book is, you, God's children, win. In the end, you win. So we begin with a reading from Revelation, beginning with chapter 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Here ends our first scripture reading. We respond with our Psalm of the Day. Psalm 84 is found printed on supplement page 38. Rise. Our New Testament reading is found in Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, beginning there with the first verse. You may recognize this as the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. We read that rightly when we see Jesus disabusing all who heard it of any notion that they could possibly keep the law perfectly. You can't dumb down the law to the point where you have maybe not taken another innocent life and say, I've kept the fifth commandment, for example. We read this morning in connection with All Saints Day because it identifies for us characteristics that should be ours as God's saints as we walk through this life. Seeing the crowds, he, that is Jesus, went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here ends our scripture readings. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. We join both our hearts and our voices in our common confession, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that same grace that turned countless sinners into saints down through the ages, may that same grace be multiplied to you, each one of you, together with the loving care of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear fellow saints, suppose I was to tell you that I, from my vantage point, can see into the parking lot and there were masked bandits smashing your windows and removing your belongings. What would you do? I assume you would just assume it was a peaceful demonstration and ignore it. Seriously, I think you would probably consider it profoundly ill-advised. We live in the Dakota Territory. That would not be a smart move. And I would think, knowing many of you, that calling the police would be an afterthought. You would not allow someone just to go and take what's yours. So I wonder why we tend to want to do that in connection with our celebration this morning, All Saints Sunday. And thinking it through, I think, at least for myself, the answer is twofold. One, I've come to underappreciate the event. And two, the event has been sullied, twisted, perverted by our society, by the world. And therefore, I underestimate also, for that reason, the value of the whole thing. Maybe it's time we just let this go. And yet that's not how we operate, is it? Just as you would not allow somebody just to take what's yours, so we as Christians do not allow the world to take what is valuable, what our God has given us. We just don't do that. I mean, the world has done the same thing to almost every other celebration. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, Reformation. They've sullied all of it. And when you stop to think about it, they've done it the same way. They've either turned it around, or more likely, they replaced God with something else on that throne, an Easter bunny, or a guy in a red suit, or whatever they've done. They've taken God from his position of power and authority and worship and put something else there, or tried to. But we don't allow that. Here, in our church, in our homes, we don't allow our God to be removed, even for a Sunday. We don't replace him with mothers or fathers or any other thing. And if we do that here too, we find something. This celebration is worthy of our time, worthy of our commemoration, because our God is worthy. When God remains on our throne on this Sunday, we begin to realize not just the value of this Sunday, but why it is that it is such an amazing thing that God has rescued even one sinner. And why the Word of God tells us that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So we may be tempted, the world may be tempting us, to skip this celebration, to go right from Reformation to Thanksgiving. We're not going to do that. That's not the will of our God. So this morning, on the basis of our text, we celebrate All Saints Day according to the theme, Saints, Now, and Then. The text that will guide, instruct us is found in 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is God's word. An amazing gift given to us, the very words of God, preserved, verbally intact, delivered to us down through the ages also this morning, that our God would, through these, his very words, comfort, strengthen, encourage, instruct us. So we pray. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. So then we hear All Saints Sunday, and we've been conditioned, whether we like it or not, to think that's the holiday, that's the observance of a different denomination, not ours. So the question, I guess, is, do we do more harm than good by celebrating, commemorating All Saints Day? And again, the clear answer is, it's worth it because our God is worth it. Remember, God is supposed to be our focal point in everything. Some of the Bible passages that teach us in such a basic way are so important. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It takes the most mundane things, the things that everybody, by definition, to sustain life does, and points them all to God and his glory. Whatever you do, even something like eating, drinking, sleeping, whatever, do it to the glory of God. So when we keep that in mind, and we look at something like All Saints Day, and we remember it's God who is championed, it is God who is celebrated in this, it turns it all around. And it makes it something we absolutely will not yield, will not give up, because, again, our God is worth it. All of you remember, you know how you end the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Did you notice what those words don't say? They don't say, should be. Yours should be. It is. All they are is statement of fact. In fact, they're understated, if anything. So when we end that prayer, we say, yours is the power. In other words, everything we just prayed in this prayer, dear Father, you can do it. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is that rulership. You're the one, the only one that can rule in the heart. And when it gets done, yours is the glory. No one else deserves any credit for any good thing. Understated truths. God is to be the recipient of our praise, our adoration in every aspect of life, because every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. It comes down to us from the Father of heavenly lights. So again, why should All Saints Day be any different? On this day, we praise our God for the rescue of sinners. Now, if we're going to rightly appreciate that, we're going to have to understand first how, humanly speaking, impossible that is. That even one, let alone countless, even one sinner could be saved. Well, first, probably what we need to do is clear away our own sense of entitlement. So how did each of us come into this world? How did we come into our existence? Obviously, God gave us life. But you know that you were conceived in sin. You were born condemned. Now, if you think of the impossibility of someone born sinful to ever go to heaven, because nothing unholy can enter God's heaven, you begin to see just a brief glimpse of how unlikely the rescue of even one sinner. Now, if that sounds unfair, well, how could we be blamed? I mean, we inherited sin, so we were born condemned. How can that be fair? The antidote for that idea is you added plenty of sins on your own. Even if you had not been born with sin, you did more than enough to condemn yourself from little on. In fact, many of us can say that our earliest memories were of naughty things that we did. Naughty is a polite term for sinful. It gets worse, believe it or not. So not only were we born sinful, not only did we add sin, we had to pay for every one of those sins. See, even an earthly judge cannot just set aside evidence. Well, not supposed to. If something was done wrong, it needs a punishment. So God, the holy judge, cannot simply set aside sin. And that's the world's idea, isn't it? When they hear from Christians that God will judge the world, there's that fear that's there, but they salve that their consciences. They overcome that fear by saying, well, yeah, but you know, look at all these people. And certainly it must be that God will just kind of grade on the curve, and there's good and bad. And I think I fall on the good side, because I'm not as bad as that guy, at least. God can't do that. God bound himself to justice. The soul that sins shall die. So we're born sinful. We added sin of our own. God has no choice but to punish sin. And it gets worse. We have no desire to be God's friend the way we're born. And we had no idea how to pick a path that would lead us to God. The devil has an ally within us. You know that ally. You hear him talking in your ear, trying to get you to do what God does not want you to do, that old Adam, that sinful flesh, an ally of Satan within us. And now we have an enemy that we cannot see, that we have no weapons to fight against. With that evil ally within us, inside the gates. And now we have to, with weapons that we don't naturally possess, we have to defeat an enemy that we can't see that is infinitely more powerful than each of us. And we were already sinners. We were already his. We were enslaved by him. Makes one wonder how it could get any worse. Well, it is. We had no way to pick a path, because God's word tells us no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind of man had conceived God's plan for our salvation. You've heard it before, but it bears repeating in this context. Every religion in the world made by man has something that man must do to earn his way into God's heaven. That's our natural idea of how things work. So if we're to join God in his heaven, this plan of God's had to be revealed to us. Somebody had to teach us. And then we couldn't even accept it. It would be foolishness to us, apart from the working of God the Holy Spirit. Now, you know that the church is all hung up on, there's an ongoing debate about decision theology. And well, it isn't by accepting it, you that's not how it works. We do accept in that we receive it by faith, but the faith is created by God the Holy Spirit within us. We couldn't do that. In other words, we couldn't logically look at several options and pick the right way. That way is foolishness to the way we were born. The Holy Spirit had to enter into us through the means of grace, which is the Word of God, written, spoken, in connection with the sacraments, that Word was the vehicle by which the Holy Spirit entered us and changed our hearts. That to me is one of the greatest mysteries of, and one of the reasons I praise God on this day for the rescue of the saints. Because you may have heard stories about someone who can be forced into saying something, but you know what can never be changed? Never can be forced? No one can change what you believe. Prisoners of war talk of torture day after day, month after month. And eventually they broke, reaching the end of their physical limitations. But their minds never broke. They never stopped believing what they believed. So, as allies of Satan, as we naturally came from our mothers, we could not change our own minds. God, the Holy Spirit, did that. God, through the power of His Word, shared with us at some point by someone, God shattered that stony, evil, old Adam heart and changed us from within. And then, having done that through the power of the law, that gospel entered, and that hand of faith that the Holy Spirit had created took that and accepted it in that sense as its own, as true. God did all that. But it gets even harder, because that's just the start. That's just how we're brought to faith. Every moment of every day, the powers of evil, every one of them, the devil, the world, our own sinful flesh, are all aligned against that faith, trying desperately to destroy it. Because the devil knows what the world fails to acknowledge: everyone who believes in Jesus will go to heaven. He's fully convinced of that. And so he will focus every attention, every diabolical plan, on destroying what God has created within his children, saving faith. And he'll do it by having a whole world of doubt thrown at it, ridiculing aspects of God's word. Do you really believe a guy was dead and then rose from the dead? Do you really believe a virgin gave birth? Do you really believe? Everything at his disposal, he will bombard against this rock of faith. That's why we celebrate All Saints Day. Because God carried through against impossible odds, humanly speaking. He carried individuals, brought them to faith, sustained them in the faith, carried them through the dark hours of their last days, and took him to himself in heaven. They rest asleep in his arms, waiting for that resurrection from the dead that our first reading spoke of. How in the world can anyone at all be brought to faith? Thanks be to God who gives us such a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only God could do that. You know these simple truths of the gospel. You know that Jesus came and paid that debt that we could not pay. It is true. We acknowledge every sin must have payment. God does not overlook even one sin. And you and I are comforted by the fact that God placed on His Son the iniquity of us all, including your own. You now believe that. Do you not? That means that you are one of the miracles of God's creation. You are part of the communion of saints, one of His children. And then to you, then, applies the text, which is where a theme finally comes into play. To you applies this: see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called a child or children of God. And so we are. That's the then and now of sainthood. First, now, You are at this moment a child of God. Stand back. Look at yourself. You see the sins of the past. You see all the failures. You see all the evil in a life. And yet God says to you, it's gone. I've washed you clean in the blood of the Lamb. Now the world ridicules that too. So who uses blood to wash anything? Obviously the stain was spiritual. And as John said earlier in the same epistle, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the world, John says, is not going to recognize you. Why? Because they didn't recognize him. And they still don't. That's amazing, isn't it, when you stop to think about it? The very ones for whom God orders all things, the very ones God listens to, are unknown to the world. We don't boast about that, but we thank our God. He's the one that made this happen. He's the one who gave us his comfort and assurance. We can know that no matter what happens out there, no matter what happens in any life, God sees, God knows, God will direct for his children. Right now, you have within you a life that will not end. Remember Jesus' words to Mary, to Martha rather, when Lazarus had died? He that believes in me shall never die. That life that is in you now, through faith in Jesus, will never end. It just translates at some point from time into eternity when God decides to call our time of grace to a close. So now you are a child of God. But then there's still the then. And the then is astounding. Listen again. These are those who have come out of the great tribulation we heard in Revelation. They have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. John, in our text, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Think about those words in this coming week. Bring them back to mind and contemplate those words. How astounding they are. We will be like him because we shall see him as he is. God has done this for us. We stand holy, perfect in his sight through faith in Jesus Christ. Then everything bad will be gone. Everything unpleasant, everything burdensome, everything frustrating, everything unfair, everything untrue, every evil of every imaginable kind, gone. And then by the grace of God, you and I will stand with those loved ones of ours who have already been rescued. You know and love many of the saints who have gone ahead of us. Will you join them? By grace through faith? Yes. And we will see him as he is. You should have no doubt, with faith in Jesus, in Jesus as your Savior, the one who provides all goodness to pay your sin debt. He has assured us here and all through his word, we need have no doubt, no uncertainty about our eternal future. And so we pray simply that God, who has done such a good job in us, not from our perspective, but from his, taken unworthy sinners all, washed us clean, set us on the path to heaven, and preserves us in that Christian faith, that he would continue to do so. And then fill us with a zeal that simply wants to thank him by being who and what we are. Children of God, heirs of eternal life. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Rise. We pray. O blessed Heavenly Father, God of all comfort, Lord of our salvation, on this day in particular, we honor you for your gospel, for your grace demonstrated to Christian loved ones who have preceded us and are now with you in heaven. It is such sweet comfort to know that while they were here, they too were filled with the joy of believing in their Savior Jesus, and that they have received the goal of their faith, the salvation of their souls. We thank you, blessed Lord, that in your grace you called them out of darkness into the marvelous light of your truth, so that they came to trust the love and forgiveness you have given us through your Son, Jesus. Whenever sorrow floods our hearts because of the losses we have individually suffered, may this comfort our hearts, that our loved ones, having been preserved in the faith unto death, are resting safely and joyfully in your presence. We know that the glory of heaven is not worthy to be compared with the sufferings of this present time. May this occasion remind us that the hour of our own departure from this veil of tears is drawing ever nearer, so that by the Holy Spirit working, we continue to trust in the promise of everlasting life through Christ alone. As long as we live here in the valley of the shadow, looking to the glorious appearing of our Savior Jesus, help us to give a good witness before the world concerning the hope that is in us, that they too might through the power of your word be turned and saved. We pray, especially during these difficult days, Heavenly Father, that you would shelter us in all of our troubles, in all of life's problems, guide, preserve, and protect us. Give us strength to bear up under whatever you allow into our lives and provide relief in due time. Raise up those who are sick. Raise up those who are fallen. Lift the burdens from the oppressed. Provide for all of us according to our various needs, both of body and soul. Help us bear with patience the afflictions of the future while learning to forget the sorrows of the past. Through the suffering of this present life, may we learn to trust you more and to treasure up treasures in heaven through Christ. Graciously keep us steadfast in this faith until that hour when one by one we are called before your throne to receive from your Son the crown of righteousness reserved for the faithful, the crown given to us, earned for us by that same Jesus Christ. These things we ask, Lord, comforted that having supplied our greatest need, you will withhold no good thing from us. And so we ask you to hear us finally as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.